Matthew, this is the final in a series on this chapter that we've been doing, Kingdom Secrets. Well, the boys have been doing. I've just arrived late to the party, but we are looking at the parable of the net today towards the closing section, and that is from verse 47 down to verse 50. But we'll read from verse 44. For this morning's purposes, we'll be looking at the parable of the net. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm going to test your fish knowledge this morning. Let's see how well you know your fish species. So, first one up. Hands up who knows what that is or who has eaten one of those. Birthday girl Abigail, yes? A mackerel, yes. You like them? You like mackerel? Yeah, quite an oily fish, but you can get them here in Ireland, yeah. Next up, you can get these guys cast fishing from piers in Ireland.
Is that
pike? It's not a pike. No, this fella's not quite as vicious as a pike. Does begin with a P, though. Finn?
Pollock,
yes. You've caught a pollock. We have eaten a pollock, yes. Good. Next up.
Trout.
Yes. Yeah. Rainbow trout. So the first two were sea fish, saltwater fish. Rainbow trout is a freshwater fish. We're famous for good rainbow trout here, maybe where you are too. Yeah. It's good fishing, you were telling me earlier. All right. Next one, a famous one. That's salmon. Yeah. Salmon. We have some very, very fine salmon fishing regions here in Ireland, not least in Mayo, who won the All-Ireland just recently. So you can get some great fish there. All right, next up. You're not allowed to answer anymore. You know too many. That's a perch, yeah. I thought you'd run out of answers by now. Okay, next one. Somebody who's not our huggy American can... Anybody know what that one is? No, that's a poach, roach rather, a roach. And now let's move to maybe some of the less savory fellas, shall we say. Yes, Jonah? An anglerfish. Yeah, you wouldn't want to meet him, would you? Or her. A scary looking guy. Yeah, those are a deep water fish. They get the further you go down, the creepier it gets. Whatever that says about Australians, Kerry. And we thought we'd finish with this little guy. Anybody know who this little guy is? He's a quirky looking fella, isn't he? He looks kind of grumpy. I like him. He's a red hand fish. Maybe he could be the fish of Ulster. Red hand fish. Yes, and in Ireland, sometimes we talk about a strange fish. Have you ever heard of a strange fish? No? Well, that strange fish is somebody who's maybe a little bit quirky. You'd say, a bit of a strange fish, that one. So there are about 35,000 types of fish or species of fish roughly known in the world. And they don't know every kind. There's more being discovered all the time. But notice in verse 47 how many types of fish there are. At the start, Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. So we start off with every kind of fish, and we've been told that the kingdom of heaven is like this image that we're being given. And this is the last of many parables, stories, which started, if you notice, on a boat. So look at verse 1 of chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat, sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And by this time, he's dismissed the crowd, and he's with the disciples. And Jesus' life is becoming more polarizing. So he's dividing opinion in very strong ways increasingly at this point in his life. Some people really are repelled by him. Others want to know more and draw closer in. And these stories are designed to create both of those outcomes. So those who want to know more come and find out more and say, well, what does this mean? Those who don't want to listen, they ignore his words and are put off by them more and more, and they go further out. So these words have a double impact. And now we come to this parable of the nets, and we'll return to types of fish in a moment. But I brought along some fishing gear today. Myself and Finn and Jonah have gone fishing sometimes. We're not very good at it, I have to say. So if you go fishing in Ireland, I have to go for the fairly basic stuff because I basically haven't got a clue what I'm doing. But you can have this guy, which is just a lure, and you can catch some mackerel on him, maybe a pollock. Then you've got these guys, the little floaty fellas, and you put worms under there, and you could, well, you might catch a pollock, but we had very limited success with those. And then you've got all sorts of things. I got this thing a while back, and actually when I opened it, I didn't even know what the half of the things did. But you have weights, and you have all sorts of different shapes because different fish are attracted to different bait. And you need to know what you're doing with your weights and your fishing reel and all of those different things. And if you use the wrong kind of tackle, the wrong kind of equipment, you're not going to catch anything. But even if you have all of the right equipment, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to catch anything, as we have discovered on many occasions. But that is not the case in the net that we are considering this morning. So you notice that there are fish of every kind that are gathered by the net. It's like a net that was thrown into the sea, and it gathers fish of every kind. So no fish escapes. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So notice that though there are fish of every kind gathered, there are only two types of fish mentioned when it comes to sorting them out, the good and the bad. And they are sorted from one another. And so the theme that this parable is bringing through very powerfully is that we need to live now for separation later. It's a very, very strong, striking parable, and this theme just jumps out from it. So the good are caught, the bad are caught, the good are sorted from the bad, the good are kept, and the bad are thrown away. And Jesus is inviting us to see and hear what his kingdom can be compared to, what it is like. Now, up till now, the parables, we have heard how the kingdom is immensely valuable. It's priceless. We've heard that despite that, it gets a mixed response and shows that the enemy is at work, sowing seeds of destruction, and that those realities will be with us, those difficulties and the work of the enemy until the very end before they are separated out. And it is the end point then, the end of the age that is pictured for us here in this parable. It's simple, it's short, it's very powerful, but it rattles around in your mind thinking, How does that work? What does that mean? And it is calling us to live knowing that this awaits the end of the age. And Jesus is calling us to understand that we need to live now for a separation that is coming later. To frame our lives, to frame our expectations around this reality. The world has an end point as it is. Our lives, therefore, are not aimless. Our lives are not pointless. History is not circular. It's not random. The world is not in chaotic freefall, though it feels like that. And humanity will not bring this world to an end. Not through war, not through greed, not through climate change, not through any particular government. Because Jesus sets the terms for the end of the age. And he will call every single one of those responsible, including all of us here, to account for how we have interacted in his kingdom, in his timing at the end of the age. No person will escape his net. As we said in verse 47, it gathers fish of every kind. So there are no fish that say, oh, well, I belong to a different faith, so I go through the net. No. No person escapes his net. No regime, no faith, no individual action will escape this net. And we need to live for that now. And so what Jesus is saying right through this is, come and see, as we've been hearing about. You need to see who I am. Come and hear what I have to say. That is what it means to live now for separation later. Listen in to Jesus. See who Jesus is. Learn about Jesus and trust him with your questions. Trust him with your pain. Trust him with the things that you can't make sense of. And be assured as you look at the world around you and see what is happening or have experienced abuses and difficulties yourself. Living now for separation later and a net that gathers everything tells you that all abuses of power and privilege will be caught. Nothing, no one, no thing will escape the net of the kingdom of heaven. And there will be an accounting. There will be a sorting. So it asks the question of each of us, what or who are we living for? Do we live as if there is no end? Do we live as if the end has no meaning? Do we live as if this current experience of ours is all that there is? Why do we live the way that we do? And what difference does the parable of the net make to us? What difference does the parable of Jesus's parables make to us? Because he's calling us in each of these stories, shifting our imagination to consider in the everyday what these images mean in truth, as Johann has said to us, that this word is real. Now, maybe the idea of the end is abstract to you and hard to imagine. So Jesus says, well, imagine it like this. Imagine it like a net that is thrown into the sea and gathers fish of every kind. And when it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. And so Jesus is saying, imagine a kingdom with no limits then. Imagine a kingdom with no borders. Imagine a kingdom with no boundaries. Live for that now, because all will be caught up in that reality and separated one from another. And Jesus is inviting us to see and hear the big picture, because his kingdom is a whole world kingdom. Wherever the Logos ship goes and ports, it's in the same place wherever it goes around the world. It's in the kingdom of heaven. And his kingdom is a whole world kingdom. And Jesus has the fishing rights to all humanity. Fishing rights are a big contentious issue in European waters, let me tell you. And Jesus has fishing rights to what? To every human there ever was is, and will be. He is the king of all humanity. There are no other boats in this story. There are no other nets. There are no other fish. And so we live now for the encapsulation impact of that kingdom and for the separation that comes later. So this is not just our thing. These guys are not here because they just like being on a boat, going around the world, telling people about Jesus, because it's their hobby. It's because of a conviction that it is true and that it is real. I'm not doing this because I just happen to like it, and I'm glad you happen to like it, and here we are, and other people have their thing, and that's great. We do this because we believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and so on. We believe that that is real, that that is true. And why do we go to all the lengths within our power or are called to make Jesus known? Because this separation awaits. This is the benchmark of all reality that Jesus is describing. Separation awaits. And Jesus said to Peter, I will make you fishers of men. We are invited into this fishing exercise. That's what we are all invited to. Not all of you are into fishing. Not all of you are any good at fishing. Maybe some better than others. But we are all called to be fishers of men, of people. We're all called to make the name of Jesus known, to cast out that truth. And if we are not at all familiar with Jesus or what it means to know him, we are called to understand that we are and will be embracing his kingdom. And how we fare at that separation depends on how we respond to him now, whether we are listening and hearing what he has to say. And though there are people groups all over this world, which we love, and we are particularly blessed here to have so many represented, there are only two types of fish, good and bad, in verse 48, as Jesus explains. And he goes on to say, so it will be at the end of the age, verse 49. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Notice verse 49. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous. I think that is probably one of the lesser known roles of angels. I watched this movie recently with Keanu Reeves. It was very, very good, I have to say. And it's, what was it called? Yes, Good Fortune. And in it, Keanu Reeves is a not very good guardian angel. And so his wings are quite small. He's like a trainee. And the only job he has is to tap people on the shoulder while they're texting and driving so that they don't die. And he gets visions above his station, basically, and tries to save a guy. And he appears to him and says, hi, I'm Gabriel, your guardian angel. I'm here to save you. And it's comical. And that is something that people think, yes, that is the job of an angel. Their job is to look after us. Guardian angels, that's what they're here for. And angels are quite popular. People would be far less offended by talking about angels than they will be if you talk about Jesus. But what's their job? They'll say, well, they watch over us. They protect us. Yes, you may be of that opinion, but do you know what Jesus says their job is? Their job is to separate. Their job is to harvest. Their job is to separate the good from the bad. Their job is to be the grim reaper. That's their job. I don't think that that is something that is well known. But they are sent by Jesus for that purpose. That was shown to us a little earlier in the chapter. You can see across in verse 41, just above rather, where it says, the Son of Man, that's Jesus, will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And again, this invitation, he who has ears, let him hear. So the angels do the separation. The sorting occurs ashore in verse 48. And it's brought ashore and the work begins of sorting the good from the bad. And that is described in these vivid but simple terms in verse 48. The angels will come out and they separate the evil from the righteous. Again, only two. And the evil or the bad is cast out, thrown, verse 50, into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So to live now means an awareness of this separation that is to come. It means how Jesus is worth everything because he will bring a world rid of evil and pain, and light has been secured for the righteous. But here in this parable, the focus is on the destiny of evil, the bad, at the end of the age, where all of that is removed from the kingdom. All evil is dealt with in the king's justice. And who are the evil here? Well, they are the discarded fish. And in the chapter, in the context, that is to be understood as all who don't want to see or listen to Jesus, all who turn away from him, his words, his rule. And much broader than that, we think of this coming separation is talking about the enveloping point where all of that is gathered together. And it is a fearsome, fearsome picture in verse 50. We have to remember who it is that is speaking these words of weeping and gnashing of teeth and a fiery furnace. This is Jesus speaking. And what motivated him to speak in this way? It is a compassionate warning. Jesus is the one who speaks more often and more vividly about hell than all other instances and people in the Bible combined. And he says, hear what I have to say. See what I'm showing you. Listen to what I am saying to you. This awaits the ends of the age. This is an inescapable reality of my kingdom, a sorting at the end of the age. And Jesus is talking compassionately to those who he is reaching out to, even though he's experiencing increasing rejection. And of course, that grows until he's utterly rejected and publicly executed. And Jesus came for that purpose. He endures the fiery furnace of the cross. He weeps. He gnashes his teeth so that all would be enabled to listen, to hear, to follow him. He went through hell for us. And so this is Jesus speaking from a place of compassionate warning. And to make any of us righteous cost him everything. We're not good in ourselves. It's his rightness alone that we can depend upon come that sorting at the end of the age. And then, as now, Jesus is inviting us to listen, to hear, to respond. This, he says, is the bookend of the age. So now, how are you going to respond to me today, tomorrow, and the next day? With this reality before us, we are called to live now for that separation later. It's to live with that focus and that purpose, that perspective. I think most of the time where we get annoyed about things, where we're angry, where we're impatient, where we're frustrated, where we're greedy, where we're antsy, where we're cruel, is because we have no perspective. Somebody breaks the light in front of you and road rage ensues. Why? It's a lack of perspective. These things are too small. There is a separation coming. And nothing will escape that kingdom net. And it brings with it a bursting up of thankfulness to Jesus that he has called us to hear him. It brings with it a sense of joy that we have been invited into this conversation. And out there, I think, in the world around us, when we talk about death, and if people have a sense of a God, there is a fear of judgment. But there is no need to fear if you cling to Jesus. You don't need to be on the Logos. You don't need to have a job like mine. You don't need to be some kind of person that everybody admires as greatly religious. You need Jesus. That's it. And what are you going to need after you grow in Jesus? You're going to need Jesus. That's it. He gives you everything you need. And that is called to shape our daily reactions. And Jesus is giving this invitation. It's not yet a sentence because the end of the age has not come. It is a challenge. It is not yet a conclusion. And so we are invited, and those around us are invited to come and see who this Jesus really is. And it challenges our selfishness. It challenges our valuing our comfort over making the effort with someone. It challenges our desire for comfort over communication. To live now for separation later will cause us to be other person focused as individuals and as a church. And therefore, we will need to be those who are seeking to be welcoming to all those we encounter, seeking to get to know that person we don't know yet, asking ourselves how we can be more outward facing here as a community. Maybe you've decided that befriending others is for the extroverts in the room. It's for everybody to be welcoming. Maybe you think, well, I've done that long enough. It's time for me to hand that baton on. No, it's not. The challenge is to live now for separation later, to listen in to Jesus, to listen carefully, to listen together with intent, to re-examine what and who we are living for. And so let's be prayerful that the Holy Spirit would cause these parables to stick in our minds and to change our hearts. When we listen, it changes how we live. And how we live, Jesus says, is to live now for separation later. That should impact our work, our finances, our hopes, our dreams, our relationships, our pain, our sin, our weariness, and give us perspective. So may God, by the power of His Spirit, enable us to live now for separation later. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a person found and covered up, then in their joy goes and sells all that they have and buys it. Thank you, Father, for the immense value of your kingdom. We pray, in light of this parable of the net, you would teach us how to live now, to understand that priceless worth of your kingdom, and to live accordingly. By your grace, by your Spirit, according to your love, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.